grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Holy God, creator of light and giver of goodness, your voice moves over the waters. Immerse us in your grace and transform us by your Spirit, that we may follow after your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated.
First reading is from Genesis. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. Word of God, word of life. Let us pray Psalm 29 responsively. Ascribe to the Lord, you gods, ascribe to the Lord's, to the Lord glory and strength. The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is upon the mighty waters.
The
voice of the Lord breaks the cedar trees. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon.
The
voice of the Lord bursts forth in lightning flashes.
The
voice of the Lord makes the oak trees writhe and strips the forests bare. And in the temple of the Lord, all are crying, "Glory."
The
Lord gives strength to your people. Give them, O Lord, the blessings of peace.
Glory to the Father.
Second reading is from Acts. While Apollos was in Corinth, Paul passed through the interior regions and came to Ephesus, where he found some disciples. He said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you became believers?" They replied, "No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." Then he said, "Into what then were you baptized?" They answered, "Into John's baptism." Paul said, "John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him, that is, in Jesus." On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. Altogether, there were about 12 of them. Word of God, word of life.
The Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were coming out to him and were baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." The Gospel of the Lord. I wrote my sermon on Friday afternoon. Of course, I was thinking of it before, but Friday I actually put pen to hand and to paper and wrote my sermon.
while I was sitting beside Don Snowden's bedside. And he passed away on Saturday morning. So this is the last sermon that he's helped me with. I can't tell you how many sermons he has helped me with, 12 years worth here. But also, this is the last sermon that he heard. I had, the week before, when we were talking about the sermon, I said, "Now, I don't know what, you know, is this good theology?" And he said, "Excellent theology." So I hold that compliment in my heart, and as we mourn the loss of a dear churchman, a dear friend, a member and a friend to all of you as well, I'm sure. Betty Wells was telling me that she went to a memorial service yesterday, and person after person who was speaking about Tamara, the first person said, "Let me introduce myself. I'm Tamara's best friend." And she told her story. And the next person that got up, she said, "You know, my name is Linda, and I'm Tamara's best friend." And every single person who stood up to remember something said, "I'm Tamara's best friend." I'm not sure that I was Don's best friend, but he was definitely a best friend to us all. And he did call us all his best friends. So I kind of want to dedicate the sermon to him. But, you know, here we are on the feast of the baptism of Jesus. And Don really pointed to his baptism when he was like 12 or 13, he was baptized. And he really pointed to that as the turning point in his life. And I would hold that up as a model for all of us to look to our baptism, as it does make a difference in our lives. It does make a difference in who we are relating to one another as brothers and sisters in Christ, and to relating ourselves to God as the children of God. So this day, on the first Sunday after the Epiphany, we remember the baptism of Jesus. And that text from Mark's Gospel and the text from the Acts of the Apostles give us an opportunity to recall baptism, but also to think more deeply about the promises that God made at our own baptism. This day offers us an opportunity not to just remember a historical event that happened to Jesus, but to claim more fully these promises of baptism that are made in our regard. Now, I've probably told you this story before, and if I have, let me bore you with it one more time. When I was working in South Dakota, I shared a preaching rotation with two other pastors. And while we knew that we had a routine and a rhythm to our preaching schedule, I think most people in the pews thought it was pretty random about who was going to be preaching. In fact, one Sunday, we were lined up for the procession, ready to start. We were in the narthex, ready to come into the sanctuary. And the cross bearer turned around and looked and saw two of us standing there. Actually, I think it was probably Don and me, and said, "Who's preaching today?" And when I said, "I am," he said, "Here we go again. Baptism, baptism, baptism." But, you know, that I didn't think that I only had, was a, what do they call that, a one-trick pony? But this sermon plays it out. Maybe I am a one-trick pony. If I'm going to be known for preaching only one topic, I'm glad that it is baptism. I think that is crucially important. I'm posting pictures of the construction on a Facebook page, and every day or two that, or at least once a week, I post a picture and say, kind of the progress. And then the next day, I look to see how many people liked that picture or how many people actually looked at it. It kind of boosts your ego a little bit. Does anybody else have that experience? They kind of look back to see how many people read your post or how many people liked it. I think that being affirmed like that kind of feels good. When you can like or unlike or friend or unfriend with just the click of a mouse, you feel affirmed and also in a little bit of control at the same time. Those Facebook pages and blogs offer us an opportunity to gather friends, hundreds or even thousands of friends and followers of your blog. Most of them you've never even met. But that kind of affirmation is one thing. That there's a very annoying, at least to me, affirmation. That's the personalized advertising and the personalized sales pitch. I get a letter, "Dear Karen," and then it starts out complimenting me on my discerning taste and acknowledging that I am one of the most generous people who live in San Diego. And then it will say that and I can deserve a platinum or gold level credit card because I am such a wonderful person, a good person. You know, deep down, these kinds of affirmations don't really mean too much, or at least they shouldn't. How can all those likes and followers and those empty compliments create any enduring sense of worth or value? But it's hard not to get caught up when the world puts so much emphasis on being affirmed. I've seen little kids' sports teams. Everybody gets a trophy. Everybody gets a medal. You get something just for showing up. You know, what does that mean then? You know, the value of that affirmation. But even while we really see this affirmation as something superficial, it's better than nothing. Being acknowledged in that way is better than nothing. As humans, we crave recognition and interaction because at our core, we are social people. Almost every element of our being reflects God's observation in Genesis that it is not good for us to be alone. And so the affirmation tells us, even if it's shallow, that we are surrounded by a community of people who value us. But the truth is, while we may value or crave affirmation, what we really want and what we really need, not affirmation, but acceptance. Acceptance is simply and crucially being accepted and valued for who you are, just as you are. And there's nothing more necessary or important in leading a healthy, productive life than feeling accepted. And that's where baptism comes in. Mark's gospel begins with John the Baptist and the baptism of the adult Jesus. Now, if we only had Mark's gospel to tell us the story of Jesus, we wouldn't have much to do on Christmas. Mark doesn't give us any angels or shepherds, no star, no magi, no stable, no Bethlehem. We get the first look at Jesus is the gospel that we hear today. Jesus came from Nazareth in the Galilee to the Jordan River to be baptized by John. That's the first thing we hear is the baptism. This tells us a lot about how this gospel is going to read. This tells us a lot about Mark's understanding of Jesus as the Messiah. What is the most important thing he puts right up front? that Jesus was accepted by God as God's son. Those words of God, the first words that we hear in the Gospels, words that we hear from God, is, "This is my son, my beloved, in whom I am well pleased." The very first words out of God's mouth, if we want to give God a mouth, the very first words that God speaks in the New Testament, "This is my son, my beloved, in whom I am well pleased." But Jesus' baptism is not just an inauguration for the all that comes later. That baptism is like the story in a single moment, everything wrapped together. Again and again in Jesus' life, as he casts out demons, as he heals the sick, as he feeds the hungry and welcomes the outcasts, he is only doing for others what had already been done for him in that acceptance that he heard from God at the time of his baptism. He is telling in word and deed that we too are the beloved children of God, with whom God is well pleased. And at the darkest moment in the story, in Jesus' story, when Jesus feels absolutely abandoned on his death cross, that piece of the story is followed immediately by the story of the resurrection, where the angel announces that God has kept the promise of baptism, and God continues to accept and honor Jesus as God's own beloved son. And this is indeed good news for us. We can remember, even at our lowest points, even in our darkest moments, even on our beds of sickness and death, we remember that God, who raised Jesus from the dead, is the same God who promised to us in baptism to never abandon us, to love us and accept us always and forever as his beloved children. And this is especially true when we're having a hard time loving ourselves or accepting our dark moments. That South Dakota acolyte might have thought I was a broken record, but I do think that baptism is incredibly important. Baptism offers us that acceptance, not some shallow affirmation, but the true acceptance of our Creator. And baptismal acceptance gives us then the freedom to accept others in turn. Baptism reminds us that wherever we go, whatever we do or whatever has been done to us, that God continues to love us, accept us, and hold on to us. The acceptance that we receive in baptism is not at all like God hitting the like button or God asking us to accept his offer of friendship. We remember our baptism and the acceptance and the promises that God has made to us. "You are my beloved child. With you, I am well pleased." This is God's full acceptance of us, just as we are. Not for what we are going to do in the future, but what God accepts us just as we are right now. This is God's promise for us that frees us to act on God's behalf in the world. Today we remember the baptism of Jesus, but let's remember our own as well. Would you take your hymnals out, please, and turn to page 234. The page numbers are at the bottom of the page in the front. Page number, not songs. Page number 234. The page numbers are at the bottom of the page at the front of the book. And actually, we're starting on 235. Please stand. I ask you to profess your faith in Christ Jesus, reject sin, and confess the faith of the church. In the Southern Church, people are a little more demonstrative than in the Western Church. So I would invite you to be a little more demonstrative. And when we say denounce, denounce. All right? Do you renounce the devil and all the forces that defy God? I renounce them. Do you renounce the power of this world that rebel against God? I renounce them. Do you renounce the ways of sin that draw you from God? I renounce them. Do you believe in God the Father? I believe in God. Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God?
I believe in Jesus.
He will come to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in God the Holy Spirit?
The Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body.
And we continue on the top of 237. You have made public profession of your faith. Do you intend to continue in the covenant God made with you in holy baptism, to live among God's faithful people, to hear the word of God and share in the Lord's Supper, to proclaim the good news of God in Christ through word and deed, to serve all people following the example of Jesus, and to strive for justice and peace in all the earth. You may be seated. We're going to sing our hymn of the day. And what number is that, Doris? We just did. 305.